Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
I'm Pastor Larry Griffin, and it's a privilege to be with you this morning. A couple of announcements to mention on this second Sunday in the Advent season. First of all, our sermon series in this Advent season on Sunday mornings is Making Advent All About Jesus Christ. A second announcement is that today, after this service, there is a voters meeting over in the parish hall, a board and budget voters meeting, I'm told. So you're all welcome, I'm sure. Wednesday nights, our sermon theme is the Five Candles of Christmas, and we invite you to join us for a supper preceding the service, which is at 6 o'clock. Next Sunday, the service will include a Sunday school children's service. Our first hymn is at number 347. Our liturgy today is on page 151. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
Forgive us.
Renew us.
And lead us.
So that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you. And for his sake, forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Thank you.
pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading for the second Sunday in Advent is in Isaiah chapter 11. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf shall graze. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. A second reading is in Romans 15. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name." And again he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples." And again Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope." Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise. The Holy God. Gospel according to Matthew chapter 3.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated for the sermon hymn.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is in Isaiah 11, where Isaiah predicts there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And also Jesus speaking in Revelation 22, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, an author named Mary Roach writes a story about her old mechanic who was a little bit crabby once in a while, and she had her car towed in to him one morning with a note fixed to the steering wheel, car won't start. A little while later, he called her to say that the reason it wouldn't start is that the gas tank was empty. He added that he was charging her $50 because she was so stupid. She went on to admit that she didn't know anything about cars, that her mechanic knew her very well, and that her mechanic had given up on her and on women in general. In our text for today, the people of Israel of Isaiah's day had given up on the idea that their nation would ever amount to anything. They had spent years in exile. They had groaned in faraway lands under oppression. They were giving up on the idea that God would be keeping his promises that he had made to their fathers Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and King David, the son of Jesse, to which the prophet Isaiah prophesies in our text for today, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. Our sermon series is titled, Making Advent All About Jesus. In last Sunday's sermon, we worked with the metaphor of mountains, and we heard Isaiah refer to the New Testament church as the highest of the mountains to which the Holy Spirit would be drawing all nations by the preaching of his gospel. Today, we switch to the metaphor of a tree, specifically the tree of Jesse, who was the father of King David. Our sermon theme is, his roots bear the best fruits. Three truths we explore today about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, their source, their taste, and their purpose. Truth number one is to explore the source of these best fruits. One of the great privileges of serving as pastor over the years is to be a teacher of confirmation class students. I mean that. I enjoy teaching these youngsters. I like to lay down the law to them and say, now I want you to do one of two things to me today. I want you either to listen to me or look like you're listening to me. This past Wednesday, I was asking each of the six students in our class who their parents were, who their grandparents were, and in a couple of their cases, their great-grandparents, and I wrote it all down. See, this is how the Christian faith is passed along from one generation to the next. I am pleased to report to you that these kids are, for the most part, they look like they're listening to me. They're a lot of fun, and their mentors and their parents have been teaching them well. It is helpful for me to know who their ancestors are, and in every case, their faith and their repentance and the fruits they are bearing are directly related to those who have gone on before them. The Holy Spirit, you see, has been working on these families for generations. And so it has always been. Isaiah lived 700 years before Christ, but this passage is about Christ. Isaiah is saying that the Messiah would be both the shoot and the root of Jesse, and that he, the Messiah, would bear abundant fruit. The fruit would be a kingdom of life and peace for people around the world, for all of creation, and for every one of us here today. The Messiah is both the shoot and the root of Jesse. Jesse's claim to fame is that he was the son of Obed. He was the grandson of Ruth and Boaz, but mainly he was the father of King David. The line of kings, David and Solomon and so forth, lasted about 400 years, but then it was cut off. Then Babylon defeated Judah and carried their king off into exile. The royal line looked like it was dead. It looked like a tree once beautiful, but it got a disease. Its branches died. It had to be cut down. It was merely a stump. Jesus was both the root and the shoot of Jesse's tree. He was both the origin of the Davidic line, and he would be the descendant of King David. He would be the new and the better and the improved David. He would be the king who would refer to himself eventually as the vine, and that his followers would be the branches. Apart from him, there can be no fruit. Lesson number one today, in keeping with our sermon series theme to make Advent all about Christ, lesson number one is to never give up on God fulfilling his promises. No matter how many times your prayers seem to be going unanswered, do not stop praying. No matter how bad are your circumstances in life, do not doubt that God will be working it out for the good of those who love him, those who are called according to his purposes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is both the Alpha and the Omega. The fruits of his suffering and death and resurrection are better than the best anybody else could offer. Which brings us to truth number two, to explore the taste of the best fruits. What do the fruits of the Holy Spirit taste like? I read recently about a 4-year-old boy who was asked to give the meal blessing before Christmas dinner. Family members bowed their heads and folded their hands, and the 4-year-old began his prayer. He thanked God for friends and family, naming them one by one. He thanked God for the turkey and the potatoes and the dressing and the fruit salad and the pies and the cakes and even the Cool Whip. And then he paused, and he looked at his mom and he said, "If I thank God for the broccoli, won't God know that I'm lying?" I can relate to that boy. It's not that I'm against broccoli or cauliflower or salads or green beans or any number of foods that are healthy for me. It's just that I prefer to eat foods that I actually enjoy tasting. A Norwegian friend of mine asked me this past week if I had ever eaten lutefisk. And I gave her my standard answer, no. My rule of thumb is if I don't like the way something smells, I assume that I'm not going to enjoy tasting it. And so I stick with the familiar. Well, we are all familiar with the fruits that the Messiah produced. Isaiah predicted that the Spirit of the Lord would be resting on him, which is exactly what happened at the baptism by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. Isaiah described these best fruits in the language we still use in the Lutheran rite of confirmation: the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Believers who rubbed elbows with Jesus in the first century tasted in him the fruit of wisdom. He had the ability to look into the essence of reality. They tasted in Jesus the fruit of knowledge, which is the ability to distinguish and perceive the differences between the truths of the kingdom and the lies of the Satan. They tasted in him the fruit of power. He would defend and protect his people. The fruit of counsel. Jesus was the wonderful counselor. He gave perfect advice. They tasted in Jesus the knowledge and the fear of Yahweh. He was acquainted with his Father and his will. And most importantly, Jesus submitted to his Father. We hear him praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." In John the Baptist's life, In John the Baptist's case, life was all about doing the will of the one true God. John cared little about his outward appearance or the food that he ate. He cared about calling sinners to repentance and directing all eyes to Jesus. And so Jesus cared little about possessions or pension plans or his neighbor's perception of him. He cared entirely about accomplishing the mission for which he was sent. In John 4:34, Jesus declared, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Lesson number two today, in keeping with our desire to make Advent all about Jesus, is to spend more and more time rubbing elbows with Jesus in his word and in his Holy Supper. As often as we hear the Christmas story, as often as we listen to the preaching and teaching of God's word, as often as we are eating and drinking at our Lord's table, that often the Spirit of God will be resting on us in increasing fashion. As often as the Spirit of God is working in our hearts, that often we will be drowning the old sinful natures inside of us. That often we will be confessing instead of explaining our faults. We will be repenting instead of covering up our bad habits. As often as we are repenting, that often we will be bringing forth fruits in keeping with repentance. Truth number three to explore is the purpose of the best fruits. Isaiah describes the purpose of the fruits of the Holy Spirit in this way: "In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious." When Isaiah pictures the Messiah standing as a banner for all the peoples, he points us to the cross upon which Jesus was lifted. He points us to Jesus being lifted up on the cross, where our debt was paid, where our souls were purchased, where the wrath of an angry God was satisfied, and where we go free. Jesus said this about being crucified, When I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. The Apostle John adds, this Jesus said to show the kind of death he was going to die. Dear friends in Christ, you know what the fruits of the Spirit are. They are love and joy and patience and all of the good works that come along with them. The fruits are kindness and goodness and faithfulness, all of the beauty that comes along with them. Fruits of the Spirit are gentleness and self-control. These are the fruits that will help us make Advent in this place all about Christ. Peter invited early Christians to let their lights so shine before others that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. And here is the purpose of all that we do as the people of God, that we would glorify our Father in heaven. Just a few days ago, I came face to face with a person who has been homeless here in Waseca for several months. I had a conversation with her. She is allowed into a couple of warm buildings during the day, but she is spending her nights in her car. No doubt many of her troubles are self-inflicted, but a troubled person she is. I shared a bit of her story with our confirmation class, at which point these pretty lively students got very quiet. And soon they were wondering how they could help. Young confirmands wanting to help a homeless person shouldn't surprise you. You see, they have been rubbing elbows with Jesus in confirmation class and in their families. The Spirit of God is resting more and more on their hearts. They didn't really ask me about her past mistakes. They just wanted her not to be sleeping in her car. They want her not to be cold. Lesson number three this morning, dear friends, is that we would live our days wondering how we might be helpful to wounded and hurting people. The answers aren't at all easy, and I'm not suggesting that today. But it seems as though the fruits of the Holy Spirit would mean that we would be wondering constantly how we can manage our time and our talents and our treasures in a way that gives glory to God. It is to be wondering how we can be bringing just a little bit of light into the darkness all around us. In Revelation 22, Jesus declares, "I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star." The kingdom of God is like a medium-sized church in a medium-sized city full of folks who are determined today never to give up on God. They are determined to spend more time with Jesus Christ in these days. They are wondering these days what it means to be the light of the world. They are looking forward to the last day for a lot of reasons. And they wonder what it might feel like when Jesus would look them in the eyes on the last day and say, "When I was frustrated, you were patient with me. When I was frightened, you were kind to me. When I was hungry and hurting, and on one occasion homeless, you helped me." In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which surpasses human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life eternal. Amen. Today we speak together the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us man and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please remain standing for the prayer of the church.
In the wilderness, we cry to you, O Lord, to visit your people with your grace and give ear to our prayers as you have promised. O Lord, the crowds who heard the preaching of St. John came in repentance and faith. Lead us to hear and heed the call to repentance in our day, that we may rejoice in the forgiveness of our sins and seek to live as the holy people you have made us to be by your baptism in Christ, O Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, the crowds who heard the preaching of St. John came in repentance and faith. Lead us to hear and heed the call to repentance in our day, that we may rejoice in the forgiveness of sins. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious God, you have blessed us in body and in soul. Give us, O Lord, your heart in these days, that we might be spending our days looking for opportunities to glorify you by helping one another. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the family of Willard Kirchhoff, bent low in grief in his recent passing, that you would comfort them with your resurrection peace. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those with health concerns, including Esther and Bob and Timothy, including Orville, Arlene, and Nancy, including Eva and Harold and Marcia and Brian. Heal them according to your will. Draw near to them, O Lord, that they would be comforted always by your presence and your promises. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those serving in the military, particularly Noah and Ryan, Jacob and Tristan and Jordan, Jacob and Aaron and Sarah, Kylie, Jason, David, and John. We especially pray for the military folks there in Pensacola as they travel through the valley of the shadow of death in a frightening situation. Yet one more shooting, O Lord, this past week. Help them to believe in your promises and to trust in you, Lord, in your mercy. Bless our communion today, O Lord. Refresh us with your forgiveness and send us forth ready to serve. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.